Hello, I'm gonna. I like to say hi to everyone.
Hi,
Kylie.
Kylie, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too,
Angela.
Angela, nice to meet you, Angela.
Don.
Likewise. Who's in that chair?
Judy.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
I'm Frederick.
Frederick.
Angela, we've met before.
Yes, good to meet again.
Good, okay.
Nice to see you. Yes, we spoke an hour ago.
David, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And Fred. Yes, this guy.
Your energy level.
Come on, join me.
No,
I want you to join me. No, seriously.
Just to make sure that you do it right. You do your thing.
Peter, come on, join me. Seriously.
So
that's Peter Severin, by the way, my producer.
So when I got home last night, or the other night, my TV, I turned it on and went off by itself. And I want to know...
Did you pay your electricity? That's what I want to know, firstly.
So I want to know, doing these films, how many unusual things have happened to you?
Well, I always say, because, you know, when I'm directing a movie, I'm always so busy trying to make the movie, trying to move on and get everything done in time that I'm not privy to a lot of the weird and bizarre supernatural stuff that might happen around me. I mean, I could have a ghost standing right next to me and I still would not be aware of that. Probably tell the ghost to go get me a coffee or something. But on Conjuring 2, it was actually really smooth sailing.
But you blessed the set, is that why?
Well, that is why. That must be the reason why. It was Peter's idea to bring a priest in early on, right?
It worked well on this.
It worked well.
We had a lot of stuff on the first movie, but not on the second, so it didn't work.
Clearly, that was the reason why we didn't have any ghostly experiences.
Why do you suppose that this is a film that a horror film that works? And I mean, really, like, you know, really gets under your skin. Like Judy was saying, she went home and like creepy things were happening. You know, I mean, why? How do you? You know, do something like that, because it's so easy to make a bad horror movie. So what's the secret of making a good horror movie?
I think, that was the thing. Going into, I was actually very apprehensive about coming back to direct Conjuring 2, because the first one, yes, was really beloved, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to top the first movie, right? And so when I eventually did come back to it, I was like, okay, you know, collectively, all of us, you know, from myself, you know, the writers, the actors, the producers, and the studio, we knew that we had to live up to the first movie at the very least. You know, we have to work hard to aspire to try and do something, you know, to try at least live up to the expectation of the first movie. And I think because of that, I never sort of, took any of this lying down, you know, so to speak. I really went for it, and I think that was something that we all collectively felt that we had to do. We all felt like there was such a love for the first film that it would be really, you know, it'd be really sad if we didn't at the very least try to, you know, come close to the first movie.
And for horror sequels, it's tough because the more you're exposed to something, the less scary it becomes. So
right.
How did you approach this one to where it wasn't diminishing returns? Where it
right.
was, and this really worked with an audience. I think you did.
Right. Sorry, I want to get to that question, but by way of your question again, I think it's hard enough to make a... to make any sequel to a commercially successful movie, right? You know, whether it's a superhero or an action movie, it's always extremely hard to try and live up to what people like about the first one, but it's triply difficult when it's a horror movie. Because I don't know, for the life of me, can you guys think of a horror sequel where people like more than the first one? I'm not...
Scream 2.
Cool, Scream 2. I like the first one more myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's really hard from that respect. I mean, I guess there's Aliens, like, you know, but the first Alien is fantastic as well. And so, yeah, so it's literally just a handful of it. And so then I look at that and go, what can we do to make it a bit different, right? And I realize that though people love the scares of the first movie, I think what made them love it even more is the characters, other characters in it. And I think they, without really knowing it, right, they fell in love with Ed and Lorraine Warren because it was they were played by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, who are both extremely lovable. And so, like, you just feel like you know these people. And because of that, we really wanted to focus... We want to make a movie, first and foremost, about them, about their characters, and then, see, for me, crafting the scare scenes, that's kind of the easy stuff, and I really want to get the character arcs and the story correct, and then I go back and really sort of look at what kind of scares I can come up with that feels different, that even though I'm sort of playing within the tropes that come with, the stringent tropes that come with the haunted house subgenre, I always look at it from a perspective of how can I make this different? How can I make this different to something that you haven't quite seen before? And or if you know what's going to happen, what can I do to kind of, you know, tweak things a little bit, mm-hmm. and, you know, throw surprises at you.
For you as a film viewer, mm-hmm. in your film, I couldn't pick which was scarier, the sounds or the visuals. How about you? What scares you?
What I've realized and what I've discovered over the years from my heavy diet of watching scary movies is, sure, the visual is very important, but I actually think if I have to pick one over the other, I said the soundscape is way more important than the visual. And that's not to belittle the amazing visual that we have in this film.
Sure.
I think the soundscape, it's proven to us time and time again by a lot of low-budget movies, horror movies that are very successful, that work very well. You barely see anything on screen because they don't have the money to show you the stuff on screen. But so much of it is played through implied, you know, like what might be on screen. And so much of that is given to you by the soundscape. The soundscape, gives you a sense of what is happening. The soundscape gives you, kind of dictates the emotion that you're feeling in this scene. And so the soundscape and the sound mix, which not many people realize, knowing what to make louder and what to make quieter. So like maybe as you approach this one moment, your music go really down, then the creaking floorboard should be louder, or the rocking chair should be louder, and all of a sudden the rocking chair goes away because now you feel the wind through the rattling the windows. And so there's a lot of like technicalities there's a lot of craftsmanship goes into the technical stuff of putting that together that I really, really believe in. And that's why when I make my movie, I sit all the way through to the very end of post-production. I don't believe that a movie finishes for the director when you call cut at the end of shooting. You gotta sit all the way through, because so much of what makes scary movies work for me is really the craftsmanship you put into the editorial process, the pacing, the sound, all the way to the very end.
I think your telephone was one of the scariest things. It was so loud.
I think the telephone, what makes it scary is not necessarily the volume, but the tonality of that ring that we're no longer familiar with, because it's not a modern ring,
right.
And it's a very very specific British, you know, English ring as well. And so that was something that we wanted to make sure that was period correct and correct to the region of the world that it was in. And so it was one that you're not quite sure what it is, but yet it's somewhat familiar, and it's so shrilly,
yeah.
Right?
How important is how strong do you feel about using practical effects in a horror film over CG? Like the simple thing of pulling a dresser on a wire. Like, do you try and get as much of that on the set as?
Well, that wasn't how we did the dresser gig. I mean, there was a lot of big expensive effects that went into making that thing move. No, I'm a huge fan of practical filmmaking. I like to capture as much of the weird stuff in camera as much as you can, because it just makes it feel more real, because it is real. It's within the frame, and I can frame for it. I can compose the shot, and my actors can actually react when they see something move in front of them. They can look at it with that jaw-dropping awe, and so that is very important for me. I try not to have any of the quote-unquote CGI stuff being naked to the eye. Apparently I like it to be naked to the eye. It's where you can't actually quite tell that that's what we're doing. I mean, you know, the visual effects, the CG, the computer effects that is so important in a movie like this, I use it more to help tell the story. I mean, by that, I mean, it is hard to shoot an exterior period movie. Everywhere you looked at, it is filled with modern technology, cars, cell towers in the distance. Nothing looked like what it used to look like. And so so what is great with digital sort of filmmaking is it allows you to go in and paint out that cell tower or that high-tech, you know, hotel that wasn't back in the 70s. And so it's a really great tool for things like that.
I thought, like, one of your really... The scene that I thought was really brilliant, the way that you shot it, was where the whole thing with drink, putting the water in her mouth.
Yes.
And what you do is you have the rack focus. And you
yes.
have that tension where you think, are we going to see her or
right,
aren't we
right,
going to see
right.
her? Like, how much went into that? Because there were many ways that you could have shot that.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
So what when it, did you know, like, right away that you were going to have her, like, out of focus? Or
yeah, I kind of did because... you know, because there are two interviewing sequences in the movie, right? Like, first you have, like, the documentary crew that interview the little girl, which was shot and edited more like a traditional, you know, like any, like a traditional, conventional movie moment. But with that one, where when Patrick, Ed, is interviewing the little girl and she doesn't want them to look at her, I thought it was the perfect opportunity to have them look away, because what that does is, even though you as an audience is looking what is happening in front of us, but because it's out of focus and the focus is on Patrick in the foreground, you're never quite sure what is happening in the background. And so I love the idea that that you're just as much, it's just as vague for you as an audience watching it as the character, as Patrick is interviewing her, right? You know, because he doesn't really know if she's spitting up the water and doing it or not. And so you're not quite sure. And I just thought that I want to portray that moment to the audience as again putting you in the mindset of the lead character. And so if he's sort of not sure what's happening, I want you to be not sure what's happening. And also at the same time, it was a great breather and a great contrast from my constant moving camera work that I have. It just allows me to lock off for like a long scene. It was a long sequence to shoot when nothing's happening, and it's really difficult. You got to get it right within the shot, because if you don't get it right, I have nothing else to cut to. I didn't really shoot anyone else's reaction. I was determined to make that work, and it's, again, it's testament to Patrick as well. I told Patrick, this is a long 3 to 5 minute sequence. You know, I know there's a lot of happening. Like, it's like how many, like 5 pages of dialogue. I need you to get it right, and we're gonna do this as one shot. And he was so excited about the challenge, because he said that one shot was the closest to like a stage play for him.
Wait a minute, am I nuts, or didn't the girl turn into the old man? Am I nuts?
You might be nuts.
Oh, no.
But
so why did I have another?
But that's the thing. Yes.
I want to know about a sequel to this. Maybe you can answer, because this is already getting great reviews. So, are you already in the midst of discussing any sequel to this?
There's more
Peter?
Warren files.
In the same way that we weren't going to make a sequel to the first one unless we felt we had a story that was worthy of doing it, that's the same thing now. We would love to make another film, but we have to know that it's going to be a worthy successor to the second one, which is also a beautiful, you know, film.
Didn't Patrick tell us that you said that he said you had an idea?
Damn that Patrick! He's always getting me in trouble.
He's a
tattletale. He's such a tattletale.
Now,
smack him next time.
Did the water sequences in this help you get prepared for your next film that you're going to be doing?
Did my Warren?
Your water sequence.
My water sequence. You know what the irony was, when I was shooting all that rain and that submerged set with all that water where we had to shoot through that. Oh God, I was like, I remember filming that. I'd say, like, crap, I have to put up with this for an entire film. This sucks. it's really difficult to shoot in water, naturally. I mean, like, all these years, you know, of so many water-based movies, I mean, you always hear how miserable it is for the actors to shoot it, so we'll see.
Okay.
Can you clear up some of that stuff that happened in the press about those rumors that maybe you were not going to stay with that film or what?
I don't know where that came from. like everything. I found out on Twitter or Facebook as well. I read about it on social media. I'm like, oh, really? That's happening? about my career, which is even funnier. I was in the middle of finishing up Conjuring 2, actually, like working on the sound mix, and then all that stuff broke out, and I was like, I don't really know what's going on here. I mean, I will say this, I think it's more exciting and more tantalizing to kind of like write it up as all, you know, with all this dramatic stuff that's happening on set. I'm not quite fully submerged in that world. I'm more from the outside looking in, but from what I can see, it's not as dramatic as everyone's kind of making it out to be. So it's actually not that heavy. That's all. that's all I can really say.
Thank
you know,
very much.
At this point,
thank
yeah.
You can end it there. Thank you.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Nice to see you.
James, we're just going to...